welcome to Marooned at MacBite's headquarters, day 141, week 21, and it's still getting worse. Yes, you're wondering, aren't you? I didn't think it could get any worse, but Boris has found a way. In fact, it wasn't even Boris, was it? Hello, Jonathan. Hello, Stuart. If Simon comes in, it could be a competition between Stuart and Simon to lower the tone, couldn't it? Oh, it would be a tight run thing. Hello, Paul. How are things down under? We're still getting reports and videos of problems, shall we say, in Melbourne. Mind you, got our own problems here. Didn't think it could get any worse. Stuart, have you seen The Messenger this week? You know the pub whose name should not be mentioned? It was mentioned in The Messenger, which I think means I wouldn't have liked to have quoted it from Facebook. But if it's in The Messenger, then we can legitimately mention it. Hello, Deb CQCQ. Hello, Paul. How are you doing? So exciting with your house. It'll be here before you know it. Just got the slight matter of selling the other one first, haven't you? Mind you, fingers crossed. Fingers crossed. Yes, we discussed a pub locally. Bit of a haunt of ours, isn't it?
It is.
I've only ever done karaoke once, but that was where it was. Oh, that was a night and a half, wasn't it, Mike?
Mm.
I think that was Mike's 50th birthday, wasn't it? Was it your birthday?
No.
Oh, no. No, it was when I was sat on the other side. That's right. Maybe it was just a night out then, but it was definitely a Saturday. The place was heaving. Anyway, on the M33 Facebook page, which I've said that is actually a good source of information usually, but, and it possibly is even now, but it was mentioned on there, the phrase dropping like flies was mentioned about people who had visited the place. And we didn't particularly want to mention it in case it wasn't true. But this story gives you the full details. So the pub is the Old Plough, which is...
Yeah, Stuart says South Manchester Police mentioned it on Twitter.
But is it true? Is it true or not? What that story's saying is that they've had the place... And I thought the word was... I would have said...
Fumigated.
Fumigated.
It was deep cleaned, wasn't it?
But they use the word Was it sanitised?
Sanitised or deep cleaned or something.
Sterilised. No, I would have said sanitised. They said sterilised. That has a totally different meaning, if you don't mind me just saying.
True.
Madam is here. Madam wants treats, don't you, Lola?
Oh.
Right, there's the tripe stick. What shall we put with it? I know. Venison sausages. There we go. That'll mean another order from Asda at some point, Mike. Mind you, they've got magnums on offer, so there'd be no great hardship there, would there? Right, here you go.
Stuart said it's true.
It's true. It doesn't surprise me. I don't think people would have said that. I don't think people are that nasty to try and, you know, hurt somebody's business if there isn't some truth in it. But you don't like just repeating stuff that's only been on Facebook. Makes me wonder. Come on, she's looking at these and she needs to get them from you. It makes me wonder if it hadn't have been on Facebook, whether they'd have bothered. And the pub's saying they've never been approached, which is about par for the track and trace, isn't it? Just saying. But the other news, you couldn't make this stuff up. Honestly, you couldn't. Saw this last night and I said to Mike, oh, you heard it direct. Stuart's a man on the ground. I believe it because I think, if you're going out to a pub, I'd basically expect it. I would. I mean, I know somebody has to have it where they are to pass it on.
Lola.
But a pub seems like the perfect place to be passing it on. Just me. Anyway, I'm not going, so I'm not particularly worried. See, sausage packet empty. Look, all gone. There's the last sausage. Oh, you are a lucky girl. So that was incident number one. Anyway, the next incident was the fact that... And I thought things couldn't really actually get much worse in Manchester itself because we're already now under strict lockdown. But on top of that, we've had a major incident declared. So when Mike told me, I said, well, he said a major incident. And I said, what's happened now? And he said, oh, no, it's still the same COVID thing, but now it's a major incident. All to do, apparently, with financial aid and stuff, which is fine. You know, they have to declare a major incident to get access to funding and support. But in the next breath, they're saying it's affecting people's mental health. Well, you know, maybe it would affect it less if you hadn't declared it a major incident, because we're already housebound. Without actually making it any worse. Unbelievable. So, yes, major incident now. But in better news, we have finally got rid of the green bin. But that won't be till tomorrow. But I believe, Stuart's, yours may have gone today. Emptying the green bin now. Fabulous. Oh, Kim, that's just nasty. People are complete idiots. Mind you, I've got a classic. Kind of on a par with that. You know, when you've not done anything wrong. We love you, Kim. No need to have a mask on 20 metres from the idiot. And anyway, you're being so careful. Him shouting at you is actually probably more dangerous. Are you grumbly now?
I think she's doing a Facebook Live across the road.
Oh.
Is it Jean? She stood there with an iPad.
Maybe she is. She'll be taking photographs.
I think she's taking photos of, yeah.
Taking photos of the new path. Right,
either
all right.
Or taking photos of some damage on the pavement.
Well, they damaged it, if there's any damage. Stuart, you're not. I would have thought you were staying home for the foreseeable. I know you've been out to a couple of places, but really? Have you heard about a programme called Digital Tagging, a Chrome extension? No, I haven't, Deb. I haven't. I will have a look for that. Been up to my armpits with broken tech today. Only a few weeks missed. They missed hours considerably, Stuart, but seeing as though we're rewilding the garden, it doesn't really make that much difference. Kim says hello to you. She can hear you grumbling. Grumbling, because you're not getting enough treats. Now look at the size of that treat. You must be hungry. She's headed off with a dentist stick, so she's quite happy now. The dentist stick's probably about 8 inches long. So it's the biggest treat that she ever has, so she's quite happy with that at the moment. And I'm left with the stinky tripe sticks. Only one day a week. Oh, I wonder what mischief Ellen will get into. It'll be wall-to-wall carrots when you get back. Ah. Right, I'm going to have a look for this digital tagging program.
Both barrels. That's an expression that you use, wasn't it?
Yes.
And your mother. Is that another northern expression?
Oh, I would have thought that was a global expression. Right, let's have a look.
I'm going to Google it.
Is it Tag Assistant by Google? Is it Tag Assistant? Is that the one you
need? Urban Dictionary.
Oh, Mike, don't go on the Urban Dictionary. It never ends well.
No. You don't want to search that in the Urban Dictionary.
Trust me, you don't. Ah, digital Chrome extension. Right, I've got it. Awesome. I shall have a look at that. I shall have a look at it. Yes, you don't let people shouting at you upset you. You are here with friends. I will share with you something, Kim. Hopefully it'll make you feel better. I goes into my YouTube comments, and you know how I always have a laugh with my YouTube comments. The most recent, right at the top of the list. Now, bearing in mind, the comment was put on a training video on YouTube. I wonder which one it was. Let's have a look. Let's even have a look which one it was for a rare old laugh. Although Mike said some bad words when I said it to him. Hang on. Why are they both going to the same place? Oh, no, they're not. Hang on. Right. That's the one I'm looking for. Okay. Right. It was on a video, which was a tutorial for Affinity Photo for iPad. Right. So let's go and have a look at that video and see if it's... Is it one people like? Because I've got one video that's Marmite. Trust me. Marmite. Right. Let's have a look at that one. Right. I've got this comment on this video. Now, bearing in mind, the video is fairly popular. It's an hour and 19 minutes and it's Affinity Photo for iPad. And one comment says, absolutely fantastic demo, thank you. Another one says, love your videos, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, this one says, you talk too much. Which I might accept, you know, on a marooned. But on a video? What do you want me to do? Leave 5 minute gaps between each comment? Unbelievable. Unbelievable. So, yes. Stuart will be, Ellen will be missing the cups of tea. Oh, you mean you're looking after her?
Yes, he's what they call it, charwaller.
Yes, I, that's probably inappropriate, I would have thought. You mean from that, oh, what was that programme called? Eight and a Half Heart Mum.
Yeah.
Yeah, Eight and a Half Heart Mum. I don't think, I mean, I've seen people on their own, Kim, in cars, wearing masks. You wonder, don't you? Jonathan, you'd make it to the end of that one, won't you? Yes, seriously. And there's even a little emoji. Now, which emoji is it? It's the one with the downcast eyes and like a raindrop on it. I don't actually know what that means, but it's so comical that the same video underneath says, absolutely fantastic demo, loved it.
If you post the link in the chat, Johnny will put a comment under it.
To the video?
Yeah. He says, which video was that? I can add a comment under it if you like.
It's this video. I haven't made that comment live, the bad comment. There's plenty of other nice comments on there. I just thought it was comical, you know, and you sitting there minding your own business. That was my video. It was from 2017 and it was the day the product was released, I think. A lot more people like it than don't. In fact, I had no idea it had that many views. It's had 135,000 views, but one snotogram.
Yeah, there's one or two comments we didn't make live on Brooklyn's on the blog. Stuart will like this one.
Which one was this?
I was doing a report of an event that we went to last year. And I reeled off the names of all the people that were there.
Oh, God, I remember.
And
that
I got
one.
A snotogram from Hammond that said, we were there, you were sat next to us. Or dancing next to us on the dance floor. Anyway, I didn't make it live.
But you did correct yourself.
But I did apologise the week after.
Following week. No, I think I'm going to do what somebody suggested this, that somebody had done it. You know, you read your comments and you think, you know, you put your time into it, effort into it, you put stuff out there, you're not charging anybody and you still get a snotogram. But how can you talk too much on a demo? Because we all had a conversation, didn't we, about videos that either just have music on them and you're just supposed to watch and there's no talking. They're nigh on impossible to follow because you've no idea what the person is doing. You're just expected to blindly follow along until they get to the end and then you get to see what they've done. But you don't actually know at the beginning if that's what you actually want to sit and watch. So they're very weird and they may have music on or they may just be totally silent. Other ones, instead of having a voiceover, they have like captions fly up. And we all agreed with that it's one step better. But again, quite difficult to actually follow. And I've realised, you know, if I'm watching a YouTube video, I'm probably going to want to follow along. Or at least I can't be doing with silent ones. I think it was Anthony said exactly the same, that he tried watching all the tutorials for Margin Note. Now, Margin Note's a fabulous app, but there's so little in the way of third-party tutorials for it. There's an entire series of tutorials from the developer, but the developer doesn't speak English, so I think he's Chinese. So all the videos are totally silent. And you've got to guess from the title whether that's the feature that you're trying to work out how to use. It's really difficult.
Silent movies. Was Charlie Chaplin involved?
That's what it's like. I mean, I can't. I was thinking as I read it. And, you know, you roll your eyes and you think, for crying out. Like, if you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all. You know, and you're muttering to yourself. And then I thought, well, hang on a minute. You know, how would you like me to do it? Interpretive dance. Just asking. How can I train without speaking? I mean, face to face, you can do diagrams and things, but you do still speak. There's no way around it. On the odd occasion, do you remember when I lost my voice?
Yeah.
There's no way you can train. You can't say, well, I'll just do a diagram or I'll type up the instructions. But the funniest part of that was I really had lost my voice. I could not speak at all. We get to church and the priest flies up to us. And I thought, oh, not today. I'm not well. And he looked at me and he said, you're all right. And I literally went, lost my voice. And he went, oh, all right then. And I said, oh, you know, obviously he wanted something. And he went, I was going to ask you to do a reading, but never mind. Ooh, close one there, Mike.
I was just going to comment on that comment from Johnny.
Right, which
one's this? I do exactly the same. If I want to hammer a point home, I will put like a lower third on there with the message. I also put a message, put text on, if I've missed something out. Now, it's usually not my fault if I'm doing the... No.
No, it really isn't.
No, if, you know, if I'm doing an Excel video, then obviously I'm scripting it, recording it, editing it. But if I'm doing something for somebody else, so it's like a system. And, you know, a good example of that would be a video for the new search system they implemented few months ago, and somebody wrote me the script, and then after I'd recorded it, they said, oh, we missed a bit out. So I said, well, I'll tell you what I'll do, rather than re-recording it, I'll just add a bit of text on screen. Another one, I did actually re-record it, not the whole thing, I just added like a 5 second thing in there, and Hindi edited it. Well, I edited it with Hindi perfectly.
Hindi's so good because if you've got the pro version, there's that profiler in it, which takes your voice and, well, basically, make sure you've got a good recording of your voice that you're quite happy with, and then make a profile from it. And then when you do subsequent recordings, if the environment is less than optimal, you can say make it sound like that one, and because the profile that you built was from your own voice, it does a really good job. I did it as a bit of a test, but obviously I don't do that every week. But I came to this week and I was doing a Mac Bites and I had a cold and I thought, I wonder if it'll cope. So I'd finished the show all snuffly and then said profile the voice against that, and it made it sound much better. But the other thing that you can do with this profile is if you've got, like Mike, chunks of audio that are recorded at different times in different locations, you say profile against this like template voice that you've got, and it will profile all of those chunks against the profile, but the knock-on effect of that is that each chunk that's previously sounded different now sounds the same. So there's a lot of tricks involved, isn't there? There's odd occasions when I've edited something, like I did a Mac Bites, didn't I? And you caught me saying Apple when I meant Adobe. So I did.
Amazon.
Was it Amazon?
You said Apple instead of Amazon.
Oh, I did. That's right. Yes, yeah. I remember. And Mike pulled me up on it, so I just recorded that line again. But somewhere in the midst of that, you'd said something, haven't you?
Mm.
What was it?
I said easily or something.
I thought the word is was involved, but I think that was after. So Mike needed to do the word easily, and then you had to kind of edit that back in, which Hindi does fantastically well. So that wasn't a problem. But then Mike had gone to bed. So I'm editing the show and I listen and I'm thinking, that made no sense. So I take it back and I listen again and I'm thinking, what on earth was he trying to say? So I had to take it back further, listened about five times, and realised there was a word missing. He'd totally missed the word is out of it. Well, he's in bed. I can hardly go in with a phone and say, oi, just say is, isn't he? So I thought, he must have said is somewhere through the show. I had to work backwards. So I found like three instances of is, whipped them out and then took them in and then like auditioned each one to see which one sounded normal. He didn't even know I'd done the edits.
I've done that before.
You need yourself a bit like Siri, don't you?
Yeah.
An entire library.
I'm just thinking back to the very first video that I made for work, which was probably about 12, 13 years ago. I've probably got it somewhere. And because we didn't have the kit at work, I mean, we still don't have the kit at work, I took to work my, it was either my 17-inch MacBook or that white thing that I had. That white MacBook and the blue, the one on the stand. On the
blue
tripod.
Yeti? Blue Snowball.
Snowball. And the only place I could find to record it was in this boiler room.
Remember that?
And you've got these overhead pipes making noises.
Yeah, someone turned the heating on, I flushed the toilet. That was the end of that. But there's a hum in there all the time, yeah. Isn't there?
They like, have actually got studios now.
Oh, yeah, but not for the likes of you. That's the laugh of it. You get another team who aren't the training team. You know, maybe they're like the product testing team. And they spend their stuff, their money, their budget on a studio where they can create videos. And Mike, who's actually on the training team, hasn't got budget for that. It's ridiculous. Oh, dear. Forgotten text. Do you script them, Jonathan? Or storyboard? That usually stops me, but you know, it wouldn't be the first time that I would then put a little note on it. And Paul says the only time I'd complain is if there was too much talking that was off topic. Well, what makes me laugh, I would say with this video, it's only an hour 20, and it's covering an entire application on the iPad. I would say not, but what I tend to do at the beginning is talk about it in terms of giving it what I would call a contextual introduction, which is what the application is, where it's come from, when it was released, what other applications are involved. And I'm just having a quick look through the first 6 minutes of this video. No subscription. Then what am I going on to? All the features that are in there, the fact that it's fast, the fact it supports the pencil. Then I talk about what hardware you will need to run it, because this video was 2017 and the oldest iPad that it would work on was an iPad Air 2, which was 2015, I think. So it was quite demanding in terms of hardware. So I put that in. But I then put in a quick slide that explained why, which was because it needed Metal to run. Metal is a component of macOS, and it's also on iPadOS, that gives it powerful graphics. So there was a 6 minute contextual introduction, and people were also complaining in the comments that I did make live, you know, this doesn't start till 6 minutes. No, the demo doesn't start till 6 minutes. But if you don't understand the context of it, you wouldn't know, for instance, that this is an iPad version, but you wouldn't know that I'm telling you that there are three applications that are available for the macOS. There are three for Windows OS, that they integrate together, that they work on macOS, how much it is, the fact there's no subscription. So although it's not actual demonstration, I think you do need to know that before you invest in the thing, because I think it was about £20, which, while, you know, it's not hundreds, people consider quite expensive for an iPad app. And the rest of it is demonstration. So I don't understand people, but that's me all over, isn't it? Not understanding people. But was it you, Paul, who suggested doing a video where it was either you or Graham might have said he'd seen one as well. Where,
talking of people, that video I did where I had to add that bit in was for the Find People feature of Enterprise Search.
Lovely. Lovely.
Not wouldn't do you that, would it?
No. What was I saying, Mike?
Paul.
Yes, yeah, somebody had done a video on YouTube and they were reading out their negative comments, but in a really whiny voice. So now I'm thinking, looking at some of these comments, rather than just ignore them, like, maybe I should showcase some of them in a really whiny voice. And or do a silent video. Oh, do you know how I could do it instead of interpretive dance? You know when you do that with your hands and you hold it up against the wall and you get like a shadow bunny?
Mm.
I could do it with shadow bunnies. I'm going to have to find a way of doing it without speaking. People drive me insane. Right, let me catch up here. Yes, you script them. Often get told off for not using full stops. I wouldn't say script with me. Sometimes I do. It depends on the video. So something like the boot discs, Catalina boot disc. Yes, because it's predictable what you're saying. And it's not recorded in real time. It is not a walk and talk. It is a walk first and talk second. Or actually, no, I record the voiceover because I know exactly what I need to say. But then I just leave the thing running for like 30 minutes while it makes the boot disc. And then I cut it to the audio later. But most of the time I'm walking and talking at the same time. And I can look at the screen and I can do my demonstration and I can talk. But reading what I'm supposed to be saying at the same time would just be like I don't have five eyeballs. So I don't. I'd leave it to the narrator to decide, in a way, where to break a sentence. Because you can put different emphases on a sentence. Even me, when I do script something like that, I go in and think that's too long at the point that I'm recording it. But it doesn't feel too long when you're actually writing it out. What was the name of the website? That one was... Let me have a look.
I've stuck it in there.
Oh, you've got it, have you?
Yeah.
Excellent. That was a good site, that. Good site, that.
I found that video.
Which video? Which one was it?
First video I did.
Which one?
The one in the boiler room.
What's it sound like?
I don't know. But it was the finished thing is in Flash.
So, we're never going to know what it sounds like, really.
I've got the audio separately.
Oh, good grief.
Go on, then. Let's play it.
Well, we're not going to hear it, are we, unless you send it to me.
The package is intended to increase the awareness of security matters for AstraZeneca application service managers and system owners. It will discuss the security environment mandated by AstraZeneca to be delivered...
Yes, you can hear a hum in the background. And I sound like I'm in doing a 1970s FA Cup, World Cup report from Mexico.
Do you know, the funniest one of the lot. We were heading off to... that was Phil's year, wasn't it? Because Stuart had the wisdom to go to Alverston. Bottle Whidden.
Yeah.
Bottle Whidden was once been never forgotten. That was where Mike shot me on the shooting range with a ricochet. But we were heading down there on Friday, sort of midday-ish Friday, early afternoon Friday. We'd both finished when Mike gets a call. And this call's like, it was actually on the way, wasn't it? I think you answered it hands-free. Yeah. And it was a guy from a company that Mike was doing a webinar for who wanted a promo for the webinar. And Mike said, yeah, that's no problem. I'm off for the weekend. I'll get it to you next week. And it was like, no, I need it now. Now. And we're just like looking at each other. He's kidding. So Mike said, well, I'll see what I can do. The thing was, at the time, Mike took with him just an iPad, a 12.9-inch iPad. Me took everything known to mankind. As Stuart will vouch for. Stuart's seen the picture. I think Stuart actually saw the hotel room that was packed to the gills. But we got down there. So the most difficult thing was going to be the audio. But I thought to myself, the year before, we were in the most quiet room. But this wasn't necessarily a good thing. It wasn't a good thing because it was three floors up and about a mile walk from where civilization was in this hotel. but at least it was quiet. So I said, oh, well, we might be able to record it when we get to the hotel. You never know. So we get to the hotel, gets booked in. She said, your room's there. Just turn to your left. She said, it's the third door on the right. And I thought, the third door on the right? Whoa. So we got to this room. What was it like? I said, if this doesn't quieten down, there's no way you're going to be able to sleep. You went in, and when you turned the lights on, there was like an electrical hum. The bathroom, as soon as you opened the door, the light came on and an extractor fan started. Outside, we had a boy racer. And this guy must have been in his 50s.
I remember him.
And he was worse than the fella across the road that washes cars. He was there with a sports car because we thought it was a kid. And I said, what the hell is going on out there? And there was this sports car with this bloke in his late 50s.
See, Johnny.
Night, Jonathan. And he was revving the engine. And I thought, well, maybe there's something wrong with it. But no, he was just showing off. And he revved and revved. This went on for over an hour. Somehow we managed to get the thing recorded, but we had to make like a duvet cave over the top of a chair with Mike's head in it and an iPad. I'm trying to think. Oh, you took my phone in, didn't you, to record it? And I'm on the outside of this thing. But then, once you'd got the recording, he then needed to do the visuals for this video and we needed to edit the audio. And I'm just saying to him, you know, well, you brought your iPad and you know what the iOS-only fundamentalists say. It's a real computer. So away you go, Mike. He sat with Keynote for about 20 minutes and said, please, God, make it stop. The iOS version is fantastic for presenting, but when it comes to creating and you're trying to bring images in, you've got to go to the browser, save them from the browser to the photo roll, then go back into Keynote and then go into the photo roll and then bring it. Honestly, that way madness lies. And as for editing the audio, don't go there. You just couldn't. There are a few decent audio apps for the iPad, but not really that have the kind of power of a desktop one. And none of them, of course, are going to be Hindenburg. So, but luckily, I had a laptop with me. I ended up donating my laptop to him for the duration while he created this video. And yes, Kim, I do have photos of Mike in the tent. All you can see is him kneeling on the floor and his feet sticking out at the back. In fact, I've got a whole video. It's part of a course. I will dig the video out, make myself a note right now. I'm putting it on a post-it note, but I've gone bigger. I've gone large. Mike's tent audio. There you go. I'll dig it out and share it with you. What a classic that was. But I put it in this course because the course is getting the best out of a Blue Yeti. And I tell the story of going on holiday and all of the disasters that it entailed. And I've actually got the original recording. And then I've got the cleaned up version that I processed it to. And the difference is astounding. It is amazing what you can do with audio, but you really need to know what you're doing. There's so many different levels. I mean, it starts even before you sit down. You've got to understand different microphones and when to use which one, how to use it. And that's before you get onto the specific microphone. And then you've got all of the settings within that microphone. But no matter what, even if everything up to that point had been absolutely perfectly set up, there's not much you can do if you've got an idiot outside revving a car like it's Brands Hatch. And the toilet and the extraction fan and people running past saying, you've forgotten your towel and you're going swimming. What can you do? But we ended up with something that wasn't actually that bad. So I'm pleased with that. I'll dig it out. Right. What's this? Yes, I did. Thanks, lovely comment. What was that? What did I miss? This has stopped scrolling on me again.
Kim's Ooh. Love Hour songs.
Love Hour. Mike doesn't need a jingle for Love Hour. He just does it automatically. We don't know the theme for this week yet. We'll have to have a think about that. You love our shenanigans. Do you know, that was going to be a peaceful weekend, that. We ended up spending the Friday. So it was that 2 days or 3 days? It was 3 days, wasn't it?
I think it was 3 days.
Oh, it was, because Queen was on the Sunday night. That was brilliant. Absolutely loved that. It was a three-day break, so we thought, well, we'll ease ourselves into it on the Friday afternoon. And we ended up working. So no news there then. I think that was it 2018? Yeah, it must have been.
Mm.
It was pre-after hours. But yes, I'm glad I got pictures of him in said tent, but you should have seen him when he came out. Because obviously, here we've not used the central heating since Margaret Thatcher was Prime Minister. And that's not even a joke. We just don't. Because with all of the equipment, it's plenty warm enough. But there, they had the central heating on as well. So poor Mike's in the tent under the duvet with the central heating on, the extraction fan, the boy racer outside, and the person with the towel outside. Oh, fabulous. So by the time we'd finished, it was like, I could do with a rest. Now we can't rest. Now we've got to go and eat. And then there's the entertainment. And then like the weekend proper started. But hey, at least the video got done. It was a promotion, wasn't it, for an Excel course?
It was.
I mean, Excel webinar. Mm. But I did put it all in this one video inside my course. So I'll have to dig it out. Oh, that was the one, yeah. Wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, we nearly got stuck in North Wales.
I remember now. Oh, well remembered, Stuart. All I remember about that was every time we wanted to go from the hotel part into either the beauty bit, the cafe bit, you had to go outside. And of course it was February in Wales. It was cold. And as Stuart's now remembered, yes, and the Beast from the East was coming in. I remember a lot of people left early that day, didn't they?
Mm.
Did we leave late because I'd won the shooting? Which was quite good considering the state I was in. Wasn't it, Mike? I got a certificate. I might. The prize usually
no,
was...
No, I thought that was Alfriston. Or maybe you're right.
I think... No, I definitely won one there because the other one you're thinking of was NID. We stayed really late because we had... the prize was a voucher for a morning coffee or an afternoon tea. So we did it on the Monday before we left and then we went to see Peter. Peter was reading the newspaper and Margaret had gone for a walk. Yeah. So it was NID. It was that beautiful
it was
maze part.
Yeah.
Of course, my abiding memory of NID is Ellen's Wheel. Ellen's Wheel was fantastic. Every time I heard Ellen's Wheel, it was like, oh, Stuart, Ellen are around. The squeaking wheel. That's long gone, hasn't it, Stuart? Such a disappointment, that. I did enjoy that. But then that was me. No, I think we left late. And Chidge and Nina had already gone. And as we got on the motorway, yeah, the weather was very bad. But it was much better when we got back here. Yeah, another fantastic weekend away with us. Nothing's ever easy. I do think this time, though, we took the most equipment because we did the live OB, didn't we?
Mm.
On the Sunday. That was great fun. Great fun, that. Right, I've made a note of that. Mike's tent audio. In fact, I'll even highlight that because I can... Oh, now Monday. Oh, Mad Monday at MacBite's headquarters, I'm thinking, is a good title for the show. Hello, Debbie. We kept breaking up. Oh, no, that's not us, is it? Have you checked, Mike?
No, it's not us.
And hello, Anthony. You could do the squeaky wheel just to make people move out of the way. Don't you remember it, Nid Stewart, that guy? There was NID was an awful place to visit because everything was, I mean, it was beautiful. Oh, it was absolutely gorgeous. But everything, again, was so fragmented. Oh, I managed to blow the bathroom up at that one. See, Kim, you do not want to go on holiday with us. That was not my fault. In fact, Stuart, you nearly ended up with that room because they'd given you like a dodgy room, hadn't they? And I thought, and I think, was it Nina had said? And I said, would this one be any better? Because we had this huge room. But the problem was the shower was about 8 inches. You had to step up 8 inches to get in. And it was so wide. There was like a bar opposite. and you couldn't reach that until you'd stepped in, but you needed the bar to step in lest you break your neck. So no, our room would have done you no good. And it's a good job we didn't swap, because although it would have been bigger, the bathroom blew up. It had under basin lighting, and this lighting, you didn't even turn it on. It was automatic. So it was you walk past and it's like motion detected. So I walked into the bathroom and sat down. I won't get any more graphic than that. And bang, all the lights blew. That was a great one. I was glad I hadn't swapped at that point. No, it's never a dull moment there. Absolutely never a dull moment. Don't think there was any tech issues that weekend, though. We had no internet, though, did we? Oh, I know what happened at NID. I bet Mike's forgotten this one. We somehow ended up with a suite. I've no idea how. You know, huge bathroom, lounge area, bedroom area, you name it, we had it. I think it was a mistake. I think they should have given it to the people who'd booked it. But there we were in this thing. But the problem was you couldn't get a Wi-Fi signal. Even though we were in the main part of the hotel, the Wi-Fi was shocking. But we had 4G. But you couldn't get 4G very well either. And do you remember what you did?
No.
I do. Right. I think Mike was trying to listen to some football on the Saturday. So I'm sitting there doing... I think I'd taken my bike, hadn't I? So I was biking. And Mike's putting his hand in the air, holding his phone, moving it around, trying to find a signal. And he does no more than rolls over. Was it your head you hit on the bedside table or your leg? I think you thwacked your leg down.
Did I?
Ended up nearly breaking his shin. He ended up hopping around the room, screaming, ah!
I do remember that.
Do you think that's why we've not been back to NID since?
Probably.
We only have happy memories of Alverston. That's why we went there. Oh, we would love to go back to Alverston. It isn't going to be this year, is it? No, Alverston's fantastic, but all of the others had issues. But the guy that I remember, Stuart, was in an electric chair. And it was quite wide. It looked like one of those shopping things that people use. But on the front of it, he had a huge basket. And in the basket, he had an oxygen bottle. And he had an oxygen mask on his face attached to this bottle. But he didn't wait for people to move out the way, Stuart. He just went clean through them. He was lethal with that thing. Now, I know you wouldn't allow Ellen, the electric one. Thought that'd be a really good wheeze, but didn't pass the test, did she, unfortunately? Who knew there was a test? Who knew? But he was lethal. And he did somehow manage to park that and the entertainment. It was opposite the bar area. And you'd see this thing, then you're thinking, well, where's he? And where's the oxygen? He must have picked up the oxygen bottle and walked off with it. There is never a dull moment when you're out with us. I swear there isn't. But the squeaky wheel was just like so cool, because it's like, oh, they're on the way. I'll go and get a drink. Air conditioning options for the studio. Ooh. We don't have much choice over here, do we? In terms of air conditioning. I know a couple of people who've had it done. But they don't do what we do, and we do need as much quiet as possible. I mean, I'm quite surprised, although a lot of it is experience and years of pain. I've actually got a fan right next to the microphone pointing at the iMac. And when we turned it on the other night, because obviously things were getting very hot, and they're predicting on Friday, as if last week at 29 wasn't enough, 39.7 on Friday. Might have to just move after hours, I think. Or move house, one or the other. Move into one of the freezers we've got. So that's attached to a window, is it? No, that's not going to work, unfortunately. But it looks fantastic. Oh, if only we had those windows. We're in the front bedroom. What would be the front bedroom? And we have what's called a bay window, which is bad enough for curtains and blinds. Because it curves round. It's like got... I'll take a picture. It's easier. But that's like a totally flat window, just like pushed up against it, isn't it? I think it'd have to go through the wall. And that's going to give you problems that there isn't much exterior wall either. And we actually had a fake wall put in the alcove, because it was far, far, far too cold. But they look beautiful. They look like neat and tidy that you wouldn't have to kind of fall over anything with it. And the prices, they're not even that bad. Oh, no, I would like to go for one of those. I just don't think it would potentially fit in. And we don't have in this country much in the way of air conditioning because, honestly, for 10 months of the year, you need a heater on. As I said, people have had it put in, but it's very noisy. And it's they build a kind of, I don't know what you call it, conduits, I guess, inside the house. So they're going up the walls and into the loft and stuff. And I still haven't recovered from the extension that we had built. Oh, you love our extension. Oh, I'm glad you like that, Kim. That was the day it was finished. I dug the pictures out. It was the 24th of December, 2015. You can see in one of the pictures, you know, the guy who finished it off, not Ben. One of the workers, Ben just meandered around like he owned the place. You can see a reflection of one of the workers and you can see the ladders and stuff that were inside there because the inside was left for us to do. They were building the outside. So it was all plastered. All the electrics were in. Everything was done. The plaster just needed to dry and then be decorated in some kind of way. They said to leave the plaster to dry for at least a week. We painted that place on the way to NID in 2017.
Oh, we did, didn't we? Yeah.
We had to leave it until we were going to NID because I painted it from the far side and this thing's easily like 13 foot, 15 foot high. It's huge. It's like a loft space, as you can see from the picture. So all that roof that you can see, there's space in there. So I painted backwards from the wall and I got to the door, finished everything off, and then we had the back step. So there is a step from the extension. You would step up into the kitchen, probably about 8 inches. And I needed to do something with the back step. And the first thing I needed to do, because it had been damaged for years, and rather than take the brick out, I said, I'll concrete over the gap and then I'll be able to paint it. Well, we got this quick drying cement. They weren't kidding, were they? Oh, boy, did that do what it said on the tin. Mm. It was like, okay, so this much water, this much powder. And I thought I'm going to have to be precise with this because it said it dried in like 5 minutes. So I thought 5 minutes is plenty of time to get it shaped correctly. So I mixed it all together.
Did you put a link in the chat?
No, it's in Slack.
Oh.
It's right. In Slack.
That's why you're not seeing it, Paul.
It's in Slack, Paul. It's in reply to yours about your house thing. And I added you as well. So you should have got a notification. If you're not in the Slack, you need to be in the Slack and then you'll be able to see it. So that's the link for the Slack. What was I saying? Backstep. So I mixes this thing really carefully and I'm there with my little trowel. Mixed it all up and it said, like, stir it for 30 seconds. Let it stand for 2 seconds. Do this, do that. Did all of that, right? Got it out and it literally set solid in about 3 seconds, and I thought, oh dear, going to need another batch. It was lethal stuff to work with, that wasn't it? I said, I'm gonna have to make it more watery than that. It looked like grey water in the end, and it was still setting solid within 10 seconds. But I managed to get the back step done. So once that had dried, which took 2 seconds, then I could paint it. So I was painting the back step. Mike had to get all the stuff out of the house, and I, because we leave via the back of the house. The front of the house is all bolted and chained on the inside. It think prison, as you well know with how many keys we've got. So all of the inside at the front was all chained and locked. So we were going out the back. So Mike's like, come on. And there I am with this brush paint in the back step. And I said, it's the only time we could do it. And the other thing we did was the toilet floor.
Yeah.
I put the stain on the toilet floor before we left, and that way it had 3 days to dry before we can come back to it. Oh, happy memories. Oh, you like it, Paul? Excellent. We'll have to do pickies of the inside now it's painted. Took me 2 years to paint it. But hey, you know, long job. It's think of it as the Sistine Chapel ceiling, because it was as difficult to paint as that, I can assure you.
Which channel's it in?
It's in reply to Paul, so probably random. If you go to threads at the top left and scroll down, can you see one from Paul that says on Maroon Today from 2 months ago? And it's underneath that. Would it be better if I just took these and posted them somewhere else? That's exactly what you want to put on the back. In that case, you definitely need to see the inside, don't you? Right, I'll try and get some video and pickies of the inside. We've never really taken that many. You will have seen the inside of it on some pictures of Lola, but we've never actually done the old, you know, go round and Mum would have done, I can assure you. Actually, Kim, you'll like this. The one that we had, which I do have pictures of, which, oh dear me, it had been built in 1985. I know that for a fact because it was my A-level year. And Mum and Dad decided to do it over the WIT weekend when I'm trying to revise. So I'm up to my armpits in revision. And she's like, can you just come and hold this? She decided, we've got stupid quotes for it, you know, for how much these things would cost. And she said, and do better myself, and you know my mother. Next minute, she'd got all these plans drawn out like an architect, and she said, that's what we're doing. And my dad, he was as white as his sheets. He loathed DIY with a passion. And with Mum project managing, oh dear. So this thing was a farce. But it had been up for 35 years, like that. And it was built in wood. So it was exactly what Mum wanted. What we had there before, when we first moved in, was, I guess you'd call it, I mean, it was a conservatory, but it was a lean-to type of thing. Like, it had a glass roof, and it wasn't special glass, so it was boiling hot all the time. So she ripped that out. Well, she supervised Dad ripping it out. And then she said, right, this is what we're doing instead. And within 2 weeks, she took 2 weeks holiday with my dad. And they built what looks exactly like that, but in wood. So the whole thing was wood. At the time, you couldn't use brick. You needed planning permission if you had it in brick. So she said, that's fine, we'll do it in wood. And they built it. The glasswork, the roof, the downpipe, the lot, the doors. She had him build it. She just designed it, and they just bought the wood and they built it. And it was amazing. It was. But she always, you know, as the years went on, wood, obviously in the UK weather, doesn't fare well. Trust me. So she always wanted, like, proper extension putting on. And then she, when Dad died, she said, I'll sort that out next summer. And by the time the next summer came, she really wasn't well enough to do it. So it got left. And then she died at the Christmas. And then I said to Mike, we're going to have to sort that out in the summer before it falls down. And the summer came and went. And I said, well, we'll get some quotes, you know, like you are. We left it that late. I think we got the quotes probably October. And when the build started, it was November and it was going to take 4 weeks. And I thought, that's fine, it'll be done by Christmas. It overran by 50% of the time. Sure, you can understand that, Stuart. So they didn't actually leave until Christmas Eve, and that's the day those photos were taken. And that's what I said about the weather. That's amazing for Christmas Eve, isn't it? It looks fabulous. But that design was exactly what my mum had always wanted. So I actually ended up designing it. You know, we got this professional in locally, really great company in terms of we got exactly what we wanted. Eventually, but you know, like they try and save a bob or two by not. Oh, there's a UK phrase: save a bob or two. A bob was an old fivepence piece, wasn't it? So save a penny or two, basically. And it was, oh yes, we'll get the architect to do the plans. By this stage, they're actually laying the foundations. So I did it myself. So I said, this is what I want. So I handed him an iPad with this all to scale drawing on it, side elevation, front elevation, you name it. And he looked and he was like, yeah, okay, then I think I'm going to need a printout of that, because I think they pretty much just built it what they felt like, and I wanted it to match exactly what Mum wanted. So that is actually exactly what we had, but it was in wood, and that is brick at the bottom, a solid foundation underneath it, because we don't have crawl space or anything. It's the house has got solid floors, so that has a solid floor as well. And then it came to the roof, and it was, do you want this glass, that glass, this plastic, da 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 da. And I think it was like, he's probably trying to push you beyond the cheapest option. and he's pushing like up to the middle bit, and he's not mentioning this other stuff that he had. And I'm seeing this brochure and I'm thinking, like, what's that one? I'm liking the look of that. And it was the most expensive option and he didn't even mention it. He clearly thought, like, you know, there's no way they're going to go for something like that, which is a proper roof on it with Velux windows in. So I'm like, I want to see that one. And he's busy showing me. He had a blowtorch with him. This again, Kim, this is our life. He had a blowtorch with him and this, like, half a glass window. And he was showing you that if you put this, like, heat thing on the other side of it, the heat didn't come through the glass. And I'm thinking, he's going to have the front room ablaze at this rate, because knowing our luck. But I'm looking at it and I'm like, yeah, that's thrilling. I said, that over there. And he's like, no, you don't want that. You want this glass. No, I don't. I want to see that. And we looked at this proper roof and I said, that's what I want. And he was like, oh, right. Well, that is a bit more expensive. And I said, that's fine. That's what I want. But then it turned out, and this was the classic, he'd never installed one before. Do you remember the fart with that? I mean, seriously, I know I could possibly just be accused of micromanaging a little, but this is why I do it. So they're building it. Everything's done, all of the framework's done, and they're coming to put the inside of the roof in. So the outside of the roof is tiles. The inside of the roof was like for heat retention and stuff, and both to keep the heat in and out, if you're with me. And I'd looked at the brochure, and in the brochure, I don't know what the actual technical term is, Stuart will know, the stuff that you put in, like insulation of some description, but I think it's insulation board. So you buy it as like 8 foot by 6 foot, and then you cut it to the size that you want it. And I had no idea at this stage that this stuff, this insulation board, came in different thicknesses. So I'm looking at the brochure and it's busy telling you like what the install would be like, and that the fact that the insulation board that was going in would be, I think it was 6 inches. And I thought, that makes sense. So that there's underneath the tiles at the top and all of the rest of it, there's this insulation board and it's really thick. So I'm thinking to myself, I'll bet you any kind of money that isn't what turns up, because there's other insulation board that's 1 inch thick. Well, that's going to be probably 6 times cheaper. So I waited until the guy came in and said, oh, I'm here to do the roof. And I thought, well, I'll give him a chance to have a cup of tea and sit down, you know, get up there. And I meandered in. And I'd already said to Mike upstairs, I hadn't even seen it at this point. And I said, I'm going down, check the roof. I said, doubtless it'll be 1 inch thick and I want 6. I said, so brace yourself. Brace yourself for another call to Benny. So I went downstairs and I looked at it and I thought, And it was 1 inch thick. And I thought, you cheeky beggars. So I said to the lad who was doing it, That insulation board, he said, yeah. I said, it's the wrong one. And he looked at me like, is it? I said, yes, it is. So I reeled off the spec, because obviously I'd just read the brochure. He said, I don't think they make one like that. I said, well, they better had, because that's what it needs. I said, so you better get on to the project manager, hadn't you? And he went, yeah, I will before I do any more. So he disappears off and rings the project manager. He comes back in next minute, project manager's there. We've only ever installed it as 1 inch. I said, do you know that catalogue you gave me? He said, yeah. I said, right, well, at the back of it, this is the installation instructions. I said, and it clearly says 6 inches. I said, so can you go and get some 6-inch board? And he just looked and he went, yeah, I'll do that. He said, but we bought this one now. I said, well, that's a shame, isn't it? I said, I take it, you know, it's on return. But we've cut a sheet. I said, well, it's not my fault, is it? I said, there's the instructions. And Mike's just like, how did you know that was going to happen? And I said, because in this world, if anything can go wrong, it will go wrong with big brass knobs on. I said, so it was bound to happen. But you can't let them do something like that, can you? When, you know, you're short of 5 inches insulation, that's going to make a massive difference. So I stood over them and watched the project manager come in, nearly crying, because he said, but that wasn't what we budgeted for. I said, did we budget for the roof that's in that catalogue? He said, yes. I said, well, it included 6-inch insulation board. I said, so don't think you're charging me more for it. So he could see his profit disappearing before his very eyes. Oh, what a fabulous time that was. But if I never want to repeat it, let's put it like that. It was stressful for me watching it because I'm thinking, you know, I know what workmen are like. You've got the people actually doing the job, and to be honest, they were great. And you've got like the project manager who's doing the budget thing, and then they've quoted you and you're okay with that. And then it's like, well, just a minute. Another thing was the windows. I don't know if you can tell from those photos. Possibly not. Yeah, well, yeah. On the front of it, there's glass above the door. And then on each side of the door, there's four windows. So there's two on each side at the top that are kind of probably about a quarter of the size of the others. And then there's the four big windows there. And I wanted every one of them opening. And that was what was agreed. Only when he came to do the budget, he'd forgotten that. And he figured there'd only be two opening windows when there's actually eight. So then he came back and said, I'd forgotten that there was more opening windows. And I said, well, I hadn't, so tough. I think when it came to Christmas Eve, he was just glad it was over.
So and were we.
Then there was the downpipe debacle, wasn't there?
Yeah.
At the far end of that, on the right-hand side of the photo, you can see the fence between us and next door's, and you can just see next door's roof. And there's a slight gap between the edge of our extension and the fence, but not, I mean, literally 6 inches, if that. And they were going to put in an eco drain, which is a kind of gutter around the bottom of the thing to drain the water into the downpipe thing. So into a grid, basically, at the other end. Anyway, that's what had been quoted for. And then it came the story, we can't put that in because, and there was a reason. And I'm like, yeah, well, what are we doing then? Because obviously, if you look around the top of it, there's a huge guttering. So the water had to go somewhere. So he said, well, we can put a pipe in. And he wanted to put the pipe in on the right of what you're looking at now. And I said, I am not having a downpipe on the front of that. So he said, well, I can put it round the side in this gap. And I said, and where's it going to? Because there's no grid over there. The grid is on the left-hand side of the photo as you look, about 6 feet further on than that. So I said, so where's it going? He said, a water butt. I said, do you mean a bucket with a lid on? He went, well, yes, if you want to call it that. I said, right, fine. So the water goes into the water butt. He says, yes. I said, and then where does it go? And he said, well, you empty it. I said, what, like every time it gets full? He said, yeah. I said, it's so skinny, though, so you wouldn't get much of a water butt in. It wouldn't be the size of a barrel. It would have to be about 6 inches wide. We live in Manchester. It rains constantly. It would be full every 5 minutes. I can imagine overnight, if it was hammering it down like it would be, you'd be out three times a night emptying the water butt. I said, I'm not having a water butt. So he was like, oh, God, what are we going to give this woman? So then he decided we could put a downpipe at the other end. So just out of shot of that, I said, I'm not having a downpipe there. So he said, well, why not? I said, because it would go past the window. And he went, oh, yeah, it would, wouldn't it? I said, yes, it would. So I said, why can't we add half a downpipe from the guttering into the existing drain pipe that was coming down from the roof? Can't do that. I said, well, why can't we do it? No, you can't do that. I said, well, we'll have to have a think about it then. Well, I got to know more about water butts than I ever want to know, ever. And this rumbled on for 7 weeks. So it comes to the actual bit where they're putting the guttering up. And the guy stood there with a piece of guttering in one hand and a hacksaw in the other. And he says to the project manager, where's the downpipe going? And he looked at me and he said, have you made your mind up yet? So I thought, I'm just going to have one more go at this, literally. So I said, look, why can't we put a pipe from here into there, into a, I forget the technical term, a down something. It looks like a triangle. I said, and hook it in to the other drain pipe. And the project manager said, you can't do that. And the guy that was stood there with the piece of guttering and the hacksaw said, of course you can do that. I'll go to the office, you know, go to the suppliers and buy one. the project manager went, what? And I said, right, done, we'll do that then. It's just ridiculous. He had no idea. You know, so it's all right talking to the project manager, but sometimes you need to talk to the man with the gutter in one hand and the hacksaw in the other. So I ended up with exactly what I wanted, but it took 7 weeks of arguing to get there. Oh, well done, though. We'll try every trick in the book. That's it, Stuart, isn't it? I mean, there's no way. I remember them saying when we were talking to them at the very beginning, you know, and what time would they be getting here and blah, blah, blah. And he said, oh, you can just leave them to it. Not a problem. You can just leave them to it. You can go to work if you like. And I said, I work from home. And I'd already worked out, you know, with all this building work going on, no chance I was getting any work done. Certainly wasn't recording courses, was I? So I said to Mike, there's no way I'm putting work on in that 2 months. I said, I've got to keep an eye on them. But I could understand with Mike, who's not had much experience of building work, thinking that I'm obsessing. But the classic of it all, the bricks at the bottom are way higher up than a lot of people have the bricks. They tend to have them lower, but I wanted it higher. So I was busy keeping an eye on them to make sure that the bricks were as high as I wanted them to be. So I'm here on my own. I go downstairs. This is about probably about 2 weeks into it. And I go downstairs and I thought I'll have a cup of tea. You know, and I'll offer them a cup of tea. So it's nearly lunchtime. I get the kettle. No, I didn't. I went out to see first if they wanted a drink. So I opened the back door and I went out. I said, do you want a brew? And there was nobody there. So while there's nobody there, I take the opportunity to meander around the estate and admire the work. So I pops out and I looks at the wall that they're building. And there's, by this stage, it's probably quite high, probably as high as it actually was, in just the bit that you can't see on the left on that photo. And I looks and I'm sitting there thinking, oh, yes, looking good. And I shuts the door, goes back into the kitchen and puts the kettle on. So I picks the kettle up, turns the water on, just about put the kettle underneath it. And as I put the kettle underneath the tap, I just went, no, and stopped dead. And something had clicked in my brain that although my eyes had seen it, my brain clearly hadn't acknowledged. And I'm there with the kettle underneath the tap. And by this stage, the kettle's overflowing. And I'm just stood there with this look of abject horror on my face going, no. So I put the kettle down on the draining board and I opened the back door with complete trepidation. I mean, there was no way it was going to look any different, but you know what you're like. Maybe I didn't see what I think I've just seen. So I opened it and I looked and I went, oh my God. And closed it again and thought, no. They'd only put the door in the wrong place. So I'd got this wall that was 3 metres. Was it 3 metres? Yeah, 3 metres, which went from the corner you can see on the left back to the house. And they'd put the door bang in the middle of it. But the door shouldn't have gone in the middle of it. If it had, which it had, it wouldn't open properly. It wouldn't open fully because there's a garage on the other side of that. And I'd clearly said to him, you need to make sure the door's there. This was why I thought I need to draw these plans up. I'm not leaving it to them. That was the day I decided I was drawing the plans up. So I gets on the phone to Mike. I said, are you free for a chat? So he went, yeah. Those were in the days when he went to work. Mm. So I said, can you FaceTime? So he went, yeah. So I puts the FaceTime on. I went, you're not going to believe this. So all Mike can see is my face going, you're not going to believe this. And I turned the phone round and he went, yeah, it's a doorway. I said, have a closer look. It's in the wrong place. And he went, oh dear. I said, yes. Now, while I'm talking to Mike, the two builders come back, having been out for some chips, I think, come back and they can obviously see I'm deep in conversation with Mike. So I said, they're back. I'll talk to you in a minute. So I get off the phone with them and with Mike and I said, this door. He said, yeah. I said, it's in the wrong place. Well, his face fell. And I said, I think you need to talk to the project manager. I said, that is definitely not where that should be. I said, and I did tell him, you know, it was all agreed. Well, he gets on the phone And the guy comes out and has a look, and I said, don't you remember me telling you that, you know, the door's got to open to the left, and if the door opens there, then it's going to hit the garage, so we definitely need this. And we had an extra wide door that we were putting in as well, which was just as well, or we would have never got that lazy boy recliner in, would we? So the door was as wide as you could possibly get, and that's why it needed to be off centre. Plus the fact, if the door had been in the middle of the wall, the corner that you can see on that photograph, you wouldn't have got a proper table on the inside of it. And anyway, that was where I wanted the door. So the fact that they'd built something else wasn't going to work. So he gets on the phone to project manager. Project manager comes round, has a look, agrees with me that I was right. And tells the brickies they'll have to move the door they've just built. They have to knock it all down and start again. Not my fault, I can assure you. But when they say to you, you know, you can go to work and you'll come back and it'll just be built. No. I could leave the house and something would be built when I get back, but not necessarily what I ordered. So I wasn't moving anywhere. I stuck to them like glue. But the builders didn't actually speak to me for 3 days after that. So you're not kidding, Stuart. Keep an eye on them. Oh, my word. It's a full-time job. Right, when my aunt had a kitchen put in, they tried to fob her off with something inferior. Didn't realise her father was a builder and so was her brother. Love it, Anthony. They will try it, won't they? We had a Lead Valley gutter renewed. The guy invited me to look and was dismayed when I got safety boots and a high-vis coat out of the car. Oh, Stuart, that's classic. No, never, ever leave them to it, Paul. Never, never. What ended up happening, I mean, it did get a whole lot worse after that. There was different freelancers, I guess, doing different bits. So he had this plumber come round. Well, he said he was a plumber. I wouldn't like to say myself. Jack of all trades, I guess. And then they decided we should have the back garden done. So he actually sent us round to Coppice Avenue, didn't he, to look at a drive that he'd done. And I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, well, yeah, fine. You know, it's an average drive. That'll be £12,000. I thought, you've got to be kidding me. I'm not paying that. No way. You're not putting down 12 slabs and calling it £1,000 each, mate. So he was doing the plumbing bit. So the first thing he did was he dug a big hole to put an... it was to go in the main drain, wasn't it? I don't know what you call it. It was like a side drain, so we could put the washing machine and the dryer in the garage. So there was going to be an outlet pipe coming out the garage, and then it was going into this grid thing, which was going to be attached to the main bit. So he digs everything up, he puts everything in. So far, so good. Then when he put back the path, he'd missed an entire chunk out of it. So I, project manager, back we come, this isn't acceptable. And he said, well, that's what it looked like before. I said, no, it didn't. He said, yes, it did. I said, okay. And I had my iPad in my hand because my iPad had the plans that I'd drawn on. And I whipped back through the photographs. I said, that's what it looked like the day you arrived. And I'd taken photographs of everything. Everything was documented every day. And he was like, I'll get him to put it back. I said, if you would. So he then came back and he had to put more concrete down to get it exactly the shape it was. But then he was putting in, it was the tap, wasn't it? The tap and the outlet pipe. We wanted a tap. And this tap was for the washing machine, so it had water. And we'd said exactly where we wanted it. Now, where would you have a tap for a washing machine? High enough up the wall to turn it on. No, he tried to put it on the floor, hadn't he? And I said, well, you know, the other issue with that is then if the water pressure's not brilliant, it's got to go uphill while we're at it. And he'd put the outlet pipe down the bottom. And the outlet pipe was like probably about 4 inches. And I said, well, that's not going to work. It's a washing machine. As the water comes out, you need it to basically go down a pipe that's probably about 4 foot up the wall so it doesn't backflow. I'm thinking, and I'm not a plumber, but it's self-evident, mate. So I said to him, have you finished with that? And he lost the plot, didn't he? He totally lost the plot, walked off the job. And I thought, well, I'd rather have him off the job than I would put it in the wrong place, you imbecile. So he had to get another one. He had to find another plumber 2 days before Christmas to come and do the job. And apparently the trickiest thing with the job was dealing with me, which I was quite happy with, but never mind. So this lad comes in. He was really good, actually. But by this stage, I'm like freaking out. So I got a black Sharpie, and the wall of the garage is white, bright white paint. And there I am putting a cross on the wall with an arrow pointing up to it that says, put tap here, put downpipe here. So the project manager says to this lad, and don't forget to put the tap in the garage. So he says, right, OK, then. So the next minute, you know, I made the fatal mistake of at that point thinking, well, given the fact there's an arrow on the wall and it says put tap here, I thought I can relax. Oh, silly me. Goes in the house, comes out about an hour later, and I looked and I thought, what is that? And there was a tap on the outside of the garage. I'm thinking, what was wrong with the sign on the inside that said the tap goes here? He'd put a tap on the outside of the garage. Gets onto project manager. I said, you know that tap? He said, yes, he's told me he's put it in, and he's told me he's put it at the right height. I said, he has. He said, oh, good, that's good, you know, with only 2 days to go. I said, yeah, the only issue is it's on the outside of the garage. He said, it's where? I said, it's on the outside. Would you like a photo? I said, can you FaceTime? There you go, there it is. And he went, for crying out loud. I said, so if you could just get him back and put it on the inside where I asked for it. This is why I'm never going to do it again. I don't know how you cope, Stuart. I really don't. Kim, the only thing I'd completely overlooked was the fact that he wasn't aware of the general vicinity, much less the precise vicinity. So it ended up on the outside. So he also had to pay for that, the project manager. He said, well, this tap that's now on the outside, I said, I didn't ask for it. He said, well, no, but it's there now. I said, it is indeed. I said, but don't think I'm paying for it. I said, because I didn't ask for it. And he went, right, leave it where it is, though. So we've now got two outside taps. So if anybody mentions DIY and I fall on a floor, you know why. It is ludicrous. But looking at the picture at the end of it, it was like, was it all worth it? And I said to Mike, ask me in 10 years when I've recovered from the stress of it. You missed all of that. For some unknown reason, Mike decided to go into work every day that was happening, didn't you?
Mm.
Well, you couldn't have trained here, in your defence, could you?
No.
But what an absolute classic that was. As we look at it now, I guess it was worth some pain, but possibly not all that pain. But yeah, it's a nice room. It's a nice room. So we need to get some pictures of the inside for you. The Christmas tree goes in front of the big double doors. And it's not too soon to be thinking about Christmas, you know, be here before you know it. Oh, I should have taken a picture of the wall instructions, shouldn't I, Kim? But I figured to myself, you know, the wall was only just painting. So I thought, I can put it on in Sharpie. And I thought, if he's got any sense, you know, he'll put the tap over the X and then I'll just paint over the instructions. Because at this stage, you know, it was a week before Christmas and we'd got loads of stuff on at the church. There was raffles, there was the Christmas fair, there was all of the Christmas masses. We were never in hardly. So literally, I'd wake up in the morning and I had to work their time. So I was out of bed by 8 o'clock, which you've got me in a bad mood to start with. And then they came. And then by the time Mike came home, it was a case of like, grab a mouthful to eat. And then we had to go out to an event. Oh, it was a stressful time. Oh, it was. You've got markings on the floor where the appliances go. That's genius. Oh, I'm going to have to do that. I'm going to have to do that. We put them in there, didn't we? They didn't do that, we did.
Mm.
Yeah. We need to put a shelf up, though, and I've been putting that off because, you know, DIY and all of that. Plus the fact, this is how my Monday went. Got up. No, in fact, I hadn't even gone to bed. I was literally just going to bed. It was 4:45. I thought, good, get some sleep. The internet went. I thought, oh, no. Then the internet came back. I thought, thankfully. Then I realised the Wi-Fi had gone. And I thought, oh. And one of two things would happen. It would either come back of its own accord within 10 minutes, or it'd be a big job where the Velops have got upset and every one of them needs to be rebooted, which, given that there's 9 of them, is a big job. So, luckily, I've got a backup wireless network, and I just switched it out and thought, never mind. But then Mike came in and I said, the Wi-Fi's gone. If it comes back, you're sorted. If not, you're going to need the backup Wi-Fi. So we're in 1Password and I'm trying to share the password with him, and 1Password wasn't syncing. I'm getting increasingly fraught. You know, I like to work at the speed of light, and this thing's like, well, I'll synchronise, but just let me finish this cigarette and beer first. So eventually I shared it with Mike via the Apple thing. So Mike's phone was working at that stage. So I said, but you're going to need the details. So he gets the details to him. Brilliant. So we're on the backup Wi-Fi at that point. And I finally head to bed and I said, I'll sort the Wi-Fi out when I get up, if it's still down. If it's still down. Oh, yeah, it was still down. So I gets out of bed. I thought, right, I've got the Wi-Fi to sort. So head in here thinking, is the internet on? Could see from my phone it was, so that was fine. So I thought, right, internet sorted, wireless, next job. Sits down in front of the iMac. You know I haven't been turning it off. I haven't even been turning the screen off. So the screen has been on. And there is a fan on it, a big 10-inch fan on full blast. So it's not overheating. Comes in, picks the keyboard up, starts typing, looks at the screen. I thought, nothing's happening. Reached out for the mouse, moved the mouse, no mouse pointer. I thought, you are kidding me. And it had totally frozen. So that needed to be rebooted. So I rebooted the Mac. Of course, anything that was open at the time, then the files need to re-index or they get excited. So I sorts all that out. Then I think, right, backup drives. Looked at them, two missing. So two drives weren't showing. But I thought, well, that can happen, you know, if you don't have a proper reboot. Went in and I could see two drives listed, but it didn't look good because the names weren't the names of my drives. They were just kind of random strings. And one was dimmed out as if it couldn't mount. I thought, we'll reboot. This is what we'll do. So I thought, well, first off, I will actually shut it down properly and then restart it. So it does that. Still two drives missing. And I thought, this drive's gone. I know it's gone. And then I'm thinking, which one is it? Because when you've got like 13 drives on a machine, it's like, well, I can't quite tell at a quick glance which one's gone. But yes, one was totally dead and I worked out which one it was. That left the other one. So I'm looking at the other one and I'm thinking that might be able to be resurrected with a bit of magic. So I heads over to perform CPR on this drive. That one comes back. So I thought, right, that just leaves me with one. But all the time you're rebooting, you're starting the apps, then you've got to update something, and you've got to make sure the drives are right, then you're over to the cupboard to sort. That all takes time. So 3 hours later, I'm there with this drive, and I'm thinking, right, I know which drive it is, and I know where it is, so I have to get it out and try it on another computer. So moves the iMac, takes it off the shelf, puts it on this other computer. No, it's dead. Not dead as in not reporting anything, but it's corrupt beyond help. Which drive was it? You'll laugh like a drain when I tell you. It was the iCloud backup drive that was installed 3 weeks ago. Now there are no backups, I'm thinking, oh, for crying out loud. And I deliberately didn't back up the backup drive because by definition, the backup drive was the backup, wasn't it? But somehow, at the same time as that had happened, oh, there are calamities at this house. iCloud had taken one on itself again and marked all the files as stationary pads. So the air was a bit blue, wasn't it, Mike?
It was.
I now need a strategic backup plan for the backup plan that I had because it needed a backup. As I say, Mad Monday at MacBytes headquarters wasn't in it. So I was at the point at that stage, I just installed another backup drive. So when you wonder, you know, when I do the unboxings and it's like, why have you got 9 1-terabyte drives? You know why. So I've put a new one in and all is well at the moment. But as I'm doing it, I'm thinking, you know, I'm going to need another backup plan. I need a plan to back up the backup. Obviously, putting another drive on the machine is just going to make things worse, not better. And remember, I couldn't back up to the cloud. Because it won't take a file over 171 meg and other cloud services won't take iCloud files at all. So that's where I am at the minute on my Valium. So to say I'm behind is an understatement. I'm half a day behind at the moment, but that is an average day here, isn't it?
Mm.
At least I resurrected the other drive. and they're all backing up quite happily at the moment. I just need to find a little bit of a trick to get that one backing up to the cloud. I've got one idea, which I'm going to work on tonight, together with the other things that I should be working on. I need more than belt braces and suspenders, you're quite right. I mean, that was the backup. But the thing was, when I thought it through, I thought, well, you know, you've got the stuff in iCloud. That's primarily where you work with it. And I've been working, I won't say without a backup. The machine backs itself up every night. But if a file, if iCloud decides it's going to nuke that file off your hard drive, so it was there yesterday, but it's not there today, and you do a backup, then your backup of that file has gone. And the only copy of that file at that stage is in iCloud. So that's why I put the thing in place. But then I realised that the not the actual files themselves, because they are on iCloud. So that's not too bad. But what is a problem is the archive files that you've got, the incrementals that have been backed up over the last however long, they're not actually backed up other than on the backup drive. So there is actually only one copy of them. So I'm going back to the drawing board. I will report back on Friday with what I come up with. But failure is not an option, obviously. Something's going to have to happen. I did seriously yet again think about PowerPoint. But then I tried to do something simple like see the object list and I got heated, didn't I, Mike?
You did.
I said to Mike, where is it? And he said, just a minute, I don't know what we're talking about. There is an object list in PowerPoint. There's no shortcut for it and it's not in the menu. So I said to him, well, how are you supposed to access it then? And apparently it's one of those, do you remember when they brought the ribbon in? And they said it'll second guess what you need to do and it'll show you just what you need when you need it. Yeah, it's not reading my mind too well at the moment. So PowerPoint got binned again. And however bad our keynote is, I am back with it yet again. I just need to outwit it. It's like a game of chess, this, me and iCloud. But I'm sure I'll think of something, she said, because obviously I just don't sleep until I've beaten it into submission. I do feel I need to take Stuart's approach, though, and get some safety boots and a high-vis coat for going into my iCloud situation, because it's that dangerous. iCloud is a nightmare. What's that phrase Steve Jobs had? A bag of hurt. Yes, it's that. If he was still here, I wonder if it would be any better, because the way it works is nothing short of a shocking nightmare. But I will beat it into submission. It's just a matter of time. So, me versus iCloud, round 47 this week. I will report back on Friday, like I say. But for the moment, better head off and calm me down with some ice cream, hadn't we?
Yeah.
I think that would be a jolly good idea. And we will be back tomorrow, which may be lesser spotted mid-2020 iMac Day. Who knows? Every Tuesday is going to be iMac Day until they release it. Because the way my iMac's going, I'm going to need another one, no matter what tripe they actually release. So here's hoping it's something worth having, because this one's not coping well at all. I must admit, I don't think I've ever had an iMac longer. Now, when I say an iMac, obviously I've got iMacs that are like 8 years old, but not as my primary Mac. They never keep up with me longer than 3 years. So it's time, I think. So fingers crossed, it'll be tomorrow. At which point, then I've got to think about the bank melting credit cards and things like that. Yes, it will. iMac Watch does continue. Maybe tomorrow will be the day. But for the moment, it's good night from me.
It's good night from me.
And we'll both see you next time. Stay safe, guys.